Gray Heart by Tara K. Harper. Read by Karen White. Chapter 1. Steel gleamed. It was night, but even with the lack of light, the blade shone in her eyes like a flat of polished glass. The hand that held the knife was draped with shadow. The body, hidden by the dark, was tense as ice before it breaks. Behind her, the warehouse labs were nearly lightless. The floors glowed only faintly to outline the paths of the open rooms and halls. Outside, the no-moon night shrouded the warehouse walls, and the streets themselves were black. And yet, the steel knife in the doorway gleamed. Regia did not blink. She did not move. She barely felt the absence of the pulse that should have pounded in her throat. Then, finally, the heartbeat rolled through her body like a kettle drum in a canyon. One beat and an hour of staring at that blade. Another pulse, and a night and a day, while her lungs forced 100 warnings to her racing, feverish brain. Something harsh swept through her teeth, and she realized she was breathing. Could he see her clearly in the shadows? Did he know just where to strike? If he shifted, even fractionally, there was no movement to her night-adjusted eyes. She thought a cold breeze touched her spine, but her skin did not dare shiver. Deep in her mind, an echo howled, and blocks away, from beneath the stable, a lone gray shape leaped up. The flat glass vials in her pocket were cold against her frigid fingers. She was going to die, she told herself, in a kind of absent horror, for a fungus in her pocket. Negruli's man would gut her like a rabbit. Skin first, then her innards, then up under her ribs to her heart. And when her bones were bare to the moons and her blood steamed hotly in this chill spring night, he'd find the glass containers in her pocket and with them take the rest of her family to the trial block and condemn them to join her in death. One hand clenched with futile strength. She had no sword to grip. Her bow was on her riding beast, along with the war bolts she had borrowed from an older brother. The sheath and long knife that had hung from her belt, her eldest brother had them. Each awkward length of steel or sinew that could have protected her here would have made her clumsy inside the darkened warehouse, and she had left them behind. And false confidence from carrying the blades at all could have crippled her in the space through which she stole. No sword or bow, no steel at her waist, no throwing knives close at hand. Item by item, her mind took stock of every weapon on her belt or body, and when it was done, she still stared at the guard before her, because the only blades she carried that night were the two boot knives, securely in place, a meter from her fingers. The doorway breathed with the chilling breeze that slid along the street. Damp, glowing roads pooled their shadows between the trees. Few outside lights were needed in the city, not with faintly luminescent streets to outline the buildings and 9 moons to shine through the night. But the moons did not help her on this night. Not one of them clung to the backsides of the clouds above the county. The long, thin bed of root road trees, whose glowing roots stretched out in hardened avenues, threw such faint light that Regia could barely define the outline of the guard against the doorway. The pale streets were sentinels of silence, and the night itself seemed to wait with Negruli's man for her movement. The silent man shifted once, a hair closer. Her eye exacted the distance, and she smelled the dust on his clothes. Not warehouse dust or lab dust or the smells of fungal gels or spores. His jerkin was like the pelt of a wolf, heavy with the scent of the woods and trails, and his breath was sweet with the same. She could almost feel his body before her as the wind curled around his frame, could tell he was taller than she. His hair was hidden beneath a war cap, and his face disguised by darkness. She didn't know if she saw or felt the way his weight balanced on the balls of his feet, but she knew that even with the dark that hid them both, he did not miss the way her skin flinched over her ribs, away from the point of that knife. She took a breath so gently in that it barely shifted her lungs. "How about you put down that knife, and I won't have to hurt you?" Even to herself, her low, almost whispered voice was steady. She did not know that her lips curled back from her teeth like a wolf, and the flash of fear that lay deep in her eyes looked more like the gleam of a hunter. The knife did not waver. "If you're waiting for the others, they won't be coming. They went to the iron bar for a grog." Her voice was cool as the steel of that blade. Yet, steady as she sounded, her muscles had somehow lost their heat and now clamped like stone to her bones. Her throat could barely push the words between her frozen teeth. Chilled, her hands seemed iced onto the glass vials, and in her mind, still thin and distant, the heat of the wolf who raced through the streets left her sea of fear untouched. Did the knife man slant his head to hear her? She turned her right palm up as if in entreaty. The blade flicked in response, its warning clear, "Don't move." But she was already closer to that gleaming blade, closer now by a hand. Her voice was so soft it was almost lost in the breathing of the wind. "Give me your name, Blader." Was it his breathing she heard or hers? She stretched her fingers and gained another inch. Her balance crept to the balls of her feet. "What would you do with my body, anyway? Stuff me into one of the kilns and put my ashes out in the morning?" A slight sound broke the pale silence of the road. A footstep, a voice? For an instant, neither moved. Then Rez's hand shot out. She followed her own movement with a violent lunge. One hand grabbed the knifeman's wrist, the other grasped his elbow. She yanked him toward her. His ribs hit hers. She didn't notice when his elbow jammed into her side, half twisting her body around him. She threw her slight weight on the bend of his arm and wrenched it back toward his gut. His grip on the blade seemed to loosen. And just before the knife went in, she hesitated. Like wind through a net, her leverage disappeared. His arm rolled up, not down and back. Hard muscles bunched beneath her grip. His thick wrist twisted. His iron fingers kept their grasp, and with an almost negligible flick of his body, she was turned like a doll and pinned against his chest. She did not move. The frigid steel now pressed against her throat. One rock-hard arm circled her slender waist, the other crossed her chest from armpit to neck to hold that blade to her flesh. 8 blocks away, the young gray one's feet sped swiftly. Her pulse beat against the hardened muscles of his forearm. Her breathing was harsh, yet her chest barely rose and fell, as if expanding her lungs might push her neck against the knife. Instinctively, Her fingers.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?